Our text for this evening is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the second part. Very simple, very short. It's the first request or petition, and our catechism is going to lead us in the next few sermons, Lord willing, through each of the petitions. But so we've got it in front of us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, young people, boys and girls, older and younger. The books of the Old Testament were written in Hebrew, and the books of the New Testament in Greek. So our English Bibles are translations of Hebrew and Greek. And you probably know that there are a variety of English Bible versions. You may have used, over your Christian life, the ESV, the NIV, the NASB, the KJV, the NKJV, the RSV, and the HCSB, just to name a few. And sadly, many of us have bookshelves groaning with Bibles. That's a good thing too. But the existence of so many Bible versions has to do with the different translation philosophies, changes in language over time. And if we are honest, and we're publishers, in making money. And if you have ever been in a Bible study where different versions are being read out, you will know that despite the fact that the overall message in each version is the same, there can be times when we lose our place because the words used or the order of those words varies from one version to another. And one of the reasons for this, as I mentioned a moment ago, is the way that language changes over time. So in the King James Version, for example, there are words that we simply do not use anymore and don't even probably recall ever seeing. For example, does anyone know what bereaveth or holpen or re-reward or whist, or embassage mean? They're from the KJV. So you might think then that hallowed would be another of those words. I mean, when was the last time you used the word hallowed? I think the only times I've heard it used are in reference to churches, perhaps as hallowed ground, or the hallowed turf of Eden Park, if you're from New Zealand, or Wembley Stadium. But it certainly is not a commonly used word anymore. And yet, despite this, all of the major English Bible versions have stuck with this word in the Lord's Prayer. And it may even be hard for us tonight when we say, "Hallowed be thy name," actually, instead of your name, as is in most of our versions. It is a word, hallowed, associated with the Lord's Prayer that has hung around, as it were, despite not being commonly used. The first request of the Lord's Prayer is, "Hallowed be your," that is God's, "name." Well, according to the dictionary, hallowed means reverenced, honoured, feared, venerated, elevated, separated from the common, regarded with feelings of respect and reverence, considered exalted or to be in awe of, holy, sacred, consecrated, sanctified, blessed, sacrosanct. But what does the word mean in the context of the Lord's Prayer? What are we praying in this first request for when we say, "Hallowed be your name"? And we are going to think about this as we consider, firstly, the priority that should be given to hallowing God's name. Secondly, hallowing God's name as the purpose of our prayers. And thirdly, the point of hallowing God's name. So firstly, then, the priority that should be given to hallowing God's name. Priority means to put first. If someone gives you a list of things to do, then usually the first thing on the list is probably pretty important, the thing that needs to be done first. And as we continue our tour of the Lord's Prayer, some interesting points about the priority in our prayers become evident. Notice, first of all, that "Hallowed be your name" begins the requests part of the prayer. We are now asking for things. And the first three requests have to do with God. "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is only after we have prayed those three God-focused requests that we come to the us requests. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the general priority in this prayer is God. And as we look at these God-focused requests, the first one of these is "Hallowed be your name." So priority in prayer is that God's name would be hallowed, treated with reverence and honoured and glorified and praised. This is why the preacher and author Arthur W. Pink said, "We cannot pray aright unless the honour of God be dominant in our hearts." And when you study the prayers of the Bible, this is exactly what we see. The Psalms do this. And the Psalms are so helpful as we think about prayer because they are prayers. And we'll be using the Psalms quite a bit this evening. And we already have in our worship. Many of the Psalms begin by announcing and declaring and exalting the honour and glory of God. Earlier we sang a paraphrase of Psalm 8. "Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great your name." The psalm actually begins and ends with these words, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So it's a bit of a paraphrase what we sing. But in other words, "Hallowed be your name." And we find this throughout the Psalms. But the prayers in the New Testament do it also. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed, hallowed. Jude 1 verse 25 is another example. Verse 25 of Jude. "To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Hallowed be your name." Why were we created? What is man's chief end? The Westminster Shorter Catechism states, "To glorify God and enjoy him forever." So if we were created to glorify God, and we have been saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, then what we should want most of all is to glorify and thank God. What should matter most to us is not our needs or even the needs of others, but God's glory. The preacher and commentator Martin Lloyd-Jones put it like this. This is a long quote, but listen up. It does not matter how desperate they may be. It does not matter how acute the tension. It does not matter whether it be physical illness or war or a calamity or some terrible problem suddenly confronting us. Whatever it may be, we must never fail to observe the order which is taught here by our blessed Lord and Saviour. Before we begin to think of ourselves and our own needs, even before our concern for others, we must start with this great concern about God and His honour and His glory. There is no principle in connection with the Christian life that exceeds this in importance. If only we would always start in prayer with the true sense of the invocation. If only we were to recollect that we are in the presence of God and that the eternal and almighty God is there, looking upon us as our Father, and more ready to bless and to surround us with His love than we are to receive His blessing. We should achieve more in that moment of recollection than all our prayers put together are likely to achieve without that realization. If only we all had this concern about God and His honour and glory. So, is that how it is with your prayers, with my prayers, brothers and sisters? Do we typically take time to speak about God's glory and majesty? Do we give priority to glorifying the name of God? And I ask you this for your own sake, but also for the sake of one another and our children. You see, our children learn a lot about God and prayer and our relationship with God as they listen to our prayers. I'm sure you've seen those stories about very young children who are at the dentist because their teeth are absolutely rotting away. It turns out that from a young age, in most cases, they have been fed sugary fruit juices or fizzy drinks. So their parents were feeding them, but they were feeding them with the wrong stuff. They weren't getting the type of food or drink that helps them to grow in a healthy way. And in the same way, if your children hear you regularly getting straight to your shopping list in prayer, God, please give me this and please give them that, even if the requests are good needs, then they will be spiritually malnourished. We all, including our children, need to hear one another hallowing God's name as a priority in our prayers. We need to hear that the most important desire is for God's name to be glorified and thanked. So then, hallowing God's name is firstly about having this priority as we begin our prayers. But in the second place, hallowing God's name is also about the purpose of our prayers. Let me now read you a portion of Psalm 106 from verse 47, where the psalmist makes an us request. But I want you to listen to why he wants what he is asking for. In verse 47, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." The psalmist wanted the people to be rescued from exile so that God's name would be glorified. The purpose of his prayer was that God's name be hallowed. In John 17, the Lord Jesus summarized everything he did while on earth in this way. In verse 4, he said, "Righteous Father, I have brought you glory on earth." There was a popular book written some years ago that had the title The Purpose-Driven Life. There was one floating around a few weeks ago in the foyer. Well, the purpose that drove Jesus to speak and think and behave as he did was to bring God glory. And in 1 Peter 4, Peter provides believers with a long list of instructions about godly behaviour and the purpose for living this way. He says we are to love one another and show hospitality and be self-controlled and to use our gifts to serve others. Verse 11, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. What this means then is that whatever it is we are asking God for in prayer should be so that his name is honoured and adored. Let me give you an example of what this looks like in prayer. Lord God, great God of love and majesty and faithfulness, please do this that I and others may have added reason to give you thanks and praise for your steadfast love. But if it not be your will to do what I ask, give me peace and contentment and strength that I may testify that you are still worthy of thanks and praise because you are always good to your people. And may it be that everything I do in relation to this matter serves only to shine the light of your glory before men, that Jesus Christ may be Lord and Saviour of all. I've depersonalized it. We've talked about this matter, but I think you see the point. Everything I do in relation to this matter serves only to shine the light of your glory before men, that Jesus Christ may be Lord and Saviour of all. Do you see how different this prayer is from, Lord, please give me, and fill in the dots, Amen. Do you see how prayers like this hallow God's name? So hallowing the name of God is also about the purpose of our prayers. Whatever we ask God for should ultimately be so that his name is glorified. But thirdly and lastly, let us also consider the point of hallowing God's name. You have heard me give a definition of hallowing. You have heard an explanation about why hallowing God's name should be our priority in prayer and the purpose of our prayers. But why is it hallowed be your name? What is the significance of the reference to God's name in this request? Well, earlier we read from Psalm 20. And the first verse says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And later in verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let's think about this for a moment. Perhaps boys and girls, imagine that you have woken up at night because you've heard a scary noise. You call out to Dad to come to you. Mum elbows Dad in the ribs a few times. He wakes up. He gets up and goes to your room and you tell him the problem. So Dad then gets up. He goes out of your room for a few moments and comes back and pins a piece of paper above your bed with his name on it. Maybe Dad, I don't know. But that's all he does. Do you think you will feel safe now that you have Dad's name hanging over your bed? Probably you would prefer Dad to check that everything is okay in the room. Look under the bed, check the cupboards. But Psalm 20 says, "May the name of the God of Jacob protect you." And you find this focus on God's name throughout the Bible. That's the difference, you see, between us and God. Between your earthly dad and our heavenly father. Our names are really just our titles. I am not an Andrew. Andrew is just my name. But God's name is who he is. Where do we see that? Probably the first passage that comes to mind is where Moses asks God for his name. And God says, "I am who I am." God is not a being who has a title. God is God's name. He is living and eternal and almighty and all-knowing. And what's more, God's name is not just who he is, but also what he does. One of the references to in answer 122 in our catechism question is to Exodus 34, verses 5 to 8. In Exodus 34, we are told that the Lord came to Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." You and I might choose to be compassionate and to do something loving. But God is compassion. God is love. God is holiness and goodness and faithfulness and justice and saving and providing and leading and guiding. Brothers and sisters, young people, boys and girls, I really commend to you the study of the names of God in the Bible. Google will help you with this. There are, for example, 18 primary names for God in the Old Testament, and you'll see them listed on your sermon outline. Built around the Hebrew words El, translated as God, and Yahweh, translated as Lord. We've already prayed most of these tonight, but let me read them again. God is Elohim, the strong one. He is El Elyon, God most high. He is El Roy, the God who sees. He is El Shaddai, God, the all-sufficient one. He is El Givhor, God the mighty. He is El Olam, God the everlasting. He is El Eloah, God the true God. He is Adonai, the Lord. He is Yahweh, the self-existent, eternal one. He is Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is Yahweh Nissi, the Lord my banner. He is Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. He is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. He is Yahweh Tesebaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. He is Yahweh Tzedek Kenu, the Lord our righteousness. And he is Yahweh Shammah, the Lord who is, capital T, there. The Lord who is there. But he is also the Creator, the author of salvation, the defender of orphans, the deliverer, father, the resting place, the potter, the redeemer, the tower of safety and the strong refuge. And these are just some of his wonderful names. And they are so beautiful and descriptive and packed with meaning. We could have a sermon, 25 already, just on those words. It is perfectly okay for us to pray, "Dear Lord." But I'm sure you can see how learning these different names, and I don't just mean how to pronounce them, but what they mean. The different names of God will add depth and a richness to the content of our prayers. And that is the point of hallowing God's name. Hallowed be your name. It helps us, as answer 122 of the Catechism says, to know God, to bless, worship and praise God for who he is and for all that he does. It is why we read Philippians 2 earlier. Daniel read the first 11 verses for us. There we read that Jesus left heaven and took to himself a human nature and humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross. But Jesus is risen and ascended. And as we read in verses 9, 10 and 11, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So yes, hallowing God's name is about beginning our prayers by exalting him, by praising him. And hallowing God's name is about having God's glory as the purpose of everything we pray. But most importantly, we hallow the name of God when we believe that his Son Jesus is the Saviour and the Lord, the Redeemer that God has given us, the only name by which we might be saved. As Jesus becomes our reason for living, we want others to know about him. We want others to have the same reason for living, and in that way, then, they also begin to hallow God's name. So may God help us to glorify him and thank him in all that we say, in all that we pray, and in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. As we ponder what you teach us from your word, as to why and how we are to hallow your name, we acknowledge that none of us is capable of hallowing your name, except they truly believe in, trust in and rest in your merciful and gracious dealings with us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Psalm 72 says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." So may God help us to glorify him. Lord, to thank him, to thank you in all that we say, in all that we do, and in all that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.